Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The government has a new warning system touted to be able to predict future COVID-19 hotspots. The Hotspots Identification for Dynamic Engagement System, or better known as HIDE, will, as the government claims, allow it to take preemptive action so that certain premises or areas can avoid turning into COVID-19 clusters. So tonight on the show, we want to take a closer look at the consequences of using predictive systems like HIDE to manage this pandemic. Let's speak first to Dato' Amir Ali Maidin. He is the managing director of the hypermarket and emporium chain Maidin. He's also the president of the Bumiputra Retailers Organization. Good evening, Dato' Amir. Now, most of the over 150 premises that were flagged by the HIDE system, they've now been shut down operations after they were issued last-minute orders on Saturday night. And I believe Maidin Shah Alam was one of these premises. So why do you consider the actions that were taken based on the predictive HIDE system to be unfair? Maybe you can share your thoughts.
Actually, we, the retailers, not only Maidin for that matter, all retailers are very supportive of the government using science and data and analysis to ensure that we can break the COVID chain. I think we don't have an issue with that. I think the more challenge or the issue here is that the government, as always, normally does not consult the stakeholders first before making an announcement. So we are caught by surprise. We really do not know how the data is arrived at. Why were this mall identified and to be closed down? One immediate flaw that comes to our mind, obviously, is that we were told, of course, that high-risk patrons have visited your mall. So your mall becomes high-risk, so you are flagged out. But remember, the way it works is that a customer walks into a mall, they scan the MySejahtera, then they show to our security that they have scanned it. After they have scanned it, only we see they are low risk or high risk. When we see they are high risk, we tell them they are not allowed to go in. But at this moment, they have already scanned their data. So when you take that data itself will be flawed. So more important is that for us to know how the data is accumulated. If the data is being accumulated by, let's say, looking at high risk, low risk, then what we will do now is get the patrons to show us the MySejahtera, show us whether they're low or high. If they're only low, then we let them in, then only they scan. I think the second point is that we're also not clear is how do you say there are preemptive clusters to be formed? Because in a bigger mall, if 500 people high risk go to, say, one Utama, a million square feet mall, or say 50 people go to a smaller mall, is it a ratio that's being used? Is it a percentage? How are numbers arrived at? So I think basically retailers are always supportive of the government. We understand the challenges. We have children, we have our wife, we have our grandmother, our parents. We don't want any one of us to get COVID-19. So we need more clarity. I think this is the main thing here.
Amir, I understand also that the retailers have pointed out to some of the flaws in the data collection that include the fact that people sometimes sign in physically. I mean, they sign a book rather than use the MySejahtera app. And therefore, many premises that where people have a preference for writing in their data isn't part of the system, and that it might lead to a false sense of security, people not going to the malls that have been very diligent about collecting data through the MySejahtera app, and then going to places where, in fact, they're not using that app. I mean, could you help us understand why you think it's important to be clear about those kinds of contradictions in the system?
No, I mean, basically, this is where the flaw lies, because not everybody, although the government says they wajibkan, they must scan the MySejahtera, We know in Malaysia, many people don't carry so-called smartphones, and there are people are also hesitant because of data. They say, I don't want to share my data. So they're allowed to write in. So this is where the flaw comes in, right? So now with this kind of thing coming in, the retailers might say, oh, let me not ask my customers to scan, but write in the book. Then the whole thing will backfire. I think that the main thing is that there's a system here good. We need to be told how will be utilized. And more importantly, I think it's the data that the government should have kept to themselves first, instead of going to the public, keep to themselves, identify those malls, go to the mall and tell them, you know what, you are high risk here. These are the new SOPs you must implement. Otherwise, I'm going to shut you down. But see, once you put on the list, it's not a three-day shutdown, you know. The mall, people will stop going to the mall for maybe even a month. Because once the name is there, people say, oh, this place, I'll be very scared to go. This is a terrible thing to do to any business.
Okay. Dr. Amir, you said that retailers are supportive of science and data if it means combating the COVID-19 crisis. What do you understand to be the science behind the three-day shutdown? What are you supposed to do during that time as retailers?
You know, basically, we've been told, okay, so you are a hotspot, a potential cluster, a preemptive strike here. We're asked to shut down for 3 days. Why 3 days? I have no idea. We're asked to sanitize, but actually malls are sanitized 3 times a day. The only thing is the shutdown will mean that we do a proper, let's say, 100% sanitization. But seriously, we really don't need 3 days to sanitization. I've done one of my bigger malls, 1 million square feet, just an overnight 8-hour period. So closing for 3 days is also loss of business.
The other thing is very interesting about the way government has worked in relation to new scientific evidence is that we know now that it's more the aerosol, the breath of people, and that the coronavirus is carried, airborne rather than mostly on surfaces. And so, in fact, I remember on social media, Professor Adiba Kamruzzaman saying, basically calling the cleansing practices a theater, a kind of theater, cosmetic, and not real, and not following the science. Have you engaged with government about these practices that seem like you're doing something, but actually, when it comes to the science, is largely ineffectual?
Yeah, you know, that this is the problem. When this COVID-19 first started, we did not understand enough. So it's fair enough, you sanitize everything under the sun. But like you just mentioned, we know that now it is a very, very minute transmission avenue. So seriously, we're just wasting money sanitizing it. But since we are asked to told at gunpoint, you do it, otherwise you can't open up your mall, we don't have a choice here. I think more consultation and maybe more clarity is required. I think many countries have stopped doing this.
Okay. So now that, you know, the Hyde list was made public on Saturday, there have been a couple of days since. Have you had engagement with government and government ministries, government agencies since then to highlight these issues?
I think, only about half an hour ago, there was an engagement with MITI, with the retailers and other associations, where they actually explained how Hyde works. We also have mentioned in the same meeting that we think the system could be a little flawed. Let us meet together and I'm sure it's a good system. We have nothing against the system. It's a good system. We must use it. I am sure Bandegara and Minister of Health has looked into it. We might need to fine-tune it and make it a better system. We are all supportive. In any case, currently, shutting down is one story. We already have an MCO starting from the 12th. So, well, I guess there are other things that we have to do now to ensure that this COVID-19 chain is broken.
Right. But, I mean, you're a businessman, and just very quick question for you. what kind of damage are these MCOs? And I remember only recently the Prime Minister promising not to have these omnibus, blunderbuster type lockdowns, and it would always be and only be targeted from that point onwards. And now he's announced something quite different. What kind of damage is it doing to the economy?
You know, I think the government or the Prime Minister doesn't have much of a choice. Malaysians tend not to follow SOPs. I'm really, really sad when the government was flexible, when they allowed F&B to open and to have dine-in, the SOPs were clear. 1 meter social distancing on dining table. 95% of restaurants, F&B outlets, never followed this so-called 1 meter social distancing. And this is what you get. And this is really what happens when people don't listen and don't follow SOPs. We have social gatherings, you know. I was the one, actually yesterday, I mentioned somewhere to say that let's forget this raya gathering. Let's stop the social gathering for at least the next 2-3 weeks. And I'm glad the government today announced this so-called lockdown. I mean, you know what? Unfortunate for business, but we have to bite the bullet. We understand.
Doctor Amir, when you say that people aren't following SOPs, do you mean the public or do you mean retailers like yourselves?
No, I'm saying the public are not following, and also many of the F&B retailers themselves are not following SOPs.
I just want to ask you, in the statement that the retailers organization came out with, they also pointed out that actually factories and work clusters are contributing far more to the COVID numbers. But people tend to blame the small businessmen, the F&B outlets, not the big factories that are producing most of the COVID cases. I mean, there seems to be a contradiction here, no?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you say where the numbers are in the construction. The numbers are that side, not on the retail. Retail is only 4.5% or something like that. But still, if the numbers keep increasing, more so with Hari Raya, with social gathering coming in and, interstate, thank God it's not allowed now, I think this is a preemptive strike. We cannot afford to go we cannot afford to have more higher numbers than what we already have now.
Right. Okay. Dr. Amir, thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us on the show tonight, sharing your perspective on the matter. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but we will be right back with more on this topic. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
This is